You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, friends from Humanitree, Sarah Lohman. She's the executive director of Humanitree. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you, Andy.
Glad to have you in studio today and looking forward to learning more about Humanitree. You also brought along with you today Hasima Hadini. She's a former client of Humanitree and now here to share her story. Hasima, I can't wait to share your story with our listeners today.
Thank you, Andy.
Sarah, tell us a little bit about what is the history of Humanitree and what it is today.
Humanitree was formed by three Lutheran ministries in 2006. Mm-hmm. And today, then 10 years later, we've worked well and strategically to align what was jail chaplaincy ministry, a homelessness project, and then an ex-offender programming. And so now our thread across programs is Christ's restoration and healing. And that's, I always say we're all freezing, you know, we're all sinners caring for other sinners and trying to wrap comfort around families in their darkest hour as Christ's mm-hmm. hands of mercy is a paraphrased version of our mission. And so just whether a family's trauma and dark hour is generational or if it's situational, if their trauma has been homelessness or incarceration or their children of incarcerated parents, it's really stepping in and trying to, in obedience to Christ, just speak into those moments and from the consistent, you know, face in front of this family and also the supports of housing and employment and just all the natural, logical, practical things that families would need. So,
how much of a need is there for the services that Humanitree provides today in the St. Louis area?
That's a great question. Our best indicator is the Housing Resource Center, how many calls they get. And so last year there were almost 9,000 calls, and about half of those were from entire families facing homelessness. So it's always one adult with at least one dependent under age 18. So for us, I think there are around 1,000 transitional beds, like that would be beyond emergency shelter. We have a, you know, just a great demand. Our referrals come from emergency and domestic violence shelters for that, for homelessness. And then incarceration, ex-offense, that's a huge decarceration effort now with overcrowded prisons. And so trying to give ex-offenders the support so they don't recidivize, but also then become contributing members of the community and again, know Christ's love for them. And so that's a huge demand for services too. And then jail chaplaincy, again, offense mm-hmm. rate and is up too. So just in the city jail or the county jail.
I've had the privilege of talking with Chaplain Stanley before.
Yes.
What a nice guy.
He is.
Does mm-hmm. great work.
Does.
Well, Hasima, I am just delighted to have you in studio today and would love to share your story with our listeners, how you came to Humanitree. And let's start with how you came to the United States.
Okay, I came to United States 1999 from Germany. I'm originally a Bosnian refugee. I ended up in Germany in 1992 when the war started in Bosnia. And then in 99, I came here in the United States to as a Bosnian refugee. And then in 2010, in January, I ended up in domestic violence shelter, St. Martha's Hall. I spent 3 months in St. Martha's Hall, and then after that, I end up in Humanitree. To get to Humanitree, you have to be recommended from domestic violence shelter, so I was one of the candidates that Humanitree picked up, and then I spent 14 months in Humanitree.
So you're a refugee.
Correct.
From the Bosnian conflict, first went to Germany and then came here to the United States.
Correct.
And you were not alone. Your family came with you.
Yes. When I ended up in Germany, when I left Bosnia, I had a 4-year-old son and I was pregnant. And then when I came here to the United States, I had 3 children, 11, 7, and 2 years old. And when I end up in domestic violence shelter, I had 2 daughters with me, and we are 17 and almost 13 years old.
And then that's how you got connected with Humanitree.
Yes.
What did you know about Humanitree before that?
Before that, I didn't know anything, absolutely anything about Humanitree. It's just that as the next step that you go mm-hmm. out of the domestic violence shelter. I knew that you can stay in the domestic violence shelter maximum to 14 weeks. And then I was hitting the benchmark, those 14 weeks. I was graduating and was in fourth semester of nursing school. I was graduating nursing school third time because I was a nurse in Bosnia and Germany. But here I had to do all over again. And then I was in fourth semester of nursing school. I was about to graduate. And the St. Martha's told me that they will let me stay if I need a few more weeks before I graduate to stay in a shelter. But in between, the humanity came with the openings, the places for new families. So I was one of the candidates that humanity took over.
Who did you meet at humanity who helped you through?
I met Miss Geraldine. I was very scared because they told me she's very strict and she is, you know, they take just the candidates that are really good, who will work on themselves and bettering their life. So I was very, very scared. She came across a very strict and, you know, the person that is go to the point and yeah. And then in the same time, I met Amy, that she just came back to work for the humanity, and Amy was the resident from humanity few years back, so she came back to work for them. So that, you know, and Amy from that day, Amy became my caseworker.
What did you learn from Amy? What did you learn about Amy along the way that helped you?
You know, along the way, Amy and I became very good friends because we met every 2 weeks. She came to visit me because as a caseworker, she had to keep the tab on what I'm doing and mm-hmm. how I'm doing. So through all those time, we became really good friends. And she shared her story that she went through the similar situation that she went to the domestic violence, to humanity, and then the place where she was there. So she just, you know, in this moment, she was my motivation. Said, okay, she did it, why can't I? So I put all my, you know, the strength and my attention to reach my goal. So finish my school. But I graduated from nursing school with my RN degree. So starting in humanity, when humanity took me over, they gave me an opportunity to go back to school, so get my bachelor's degree. So I basically got my bachelor's degree being in humanity. But, you know, Amy played a big role in there, giving me just, you know, her perspective. So said, why mm-hmm. not? You can reach the stars. Why not try?
So you received your RN, you'd completed nursing school, you'd completed that, and connected now with humanity and had Amy's support and the support of others at humanity, and said, you can go further, you can do more, a Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
Correct.
And completed that as well. Now, all the time that you're studying, what else is going on with your family?
You know, I have two daughters that they went to MICDS. My kids started in MICDS. You know, at an early age, from my older daughter, my son ended up in MICDS in high school and in ninth grade. My older daughter ended up in MICDS in sixth grade, and the youngest one started from second grade. So my kids were in a private school, and I was homeless. I was fighting for, you know, trying to work a little bit and going to school and dealing with you know, the really messy divorce and with all psychological issues that kids had and you know, psychological issues that I went through. But, you know, I was still in peace because I knew that humanity was there, you know, having my back. If I go down on my knees, they will help me up.
For our listeners outside of the St. Louis area, might not be familiar with MICDS, as you mentioned, a private school here in the St. Louis area. What was that like, Asima, experiencing homelessness, yet at the same time taking your kids to a private school every day? Did it seem unusual? Did it seem like there's some sort of chasm or discrepancy here?
Yes, that was very unreal. And the first, you know, as a Bosnian refugees, my kids were first Bosnian kids in MICDS, and still only. My daughter graduated last year. There is no other Bosnian kids in there. So that was a big deal. And then to addition to that, we were homeless. So just to grasp this idea, we are homeless and going to private school, it was just, they didn't come together, didn't click together. And whoever looked at me says, you don't look like the homeless person. I didn't felt like a homeless person, but I was. And that was the situation that I was in, and I tried to do the best that I could. So, yeah, but, you know, I have to thank the MICDS as a school. When they find out our situation, they gave us tremendous support, and they, you know, they give the support to my kids and to me, everything that we needed. So I'm very thankful for that, too.
So your kids were able to finish at MICDS.
Correct.
And you've completed your education, continued your education as well, Bachelor of Science in Nursing. And yes. Where did that bring you? You completed your BSN. Now what are you doing?
Recovery room nurse in Children's Hospital. Right now, I have I'm now bragging, but I have a highest level of professional nurse development program. We have a program in a Children's Hospital. That is, I'm in highest level of this program. I'm certified pediatric nurse. I'm ASPEN member. I'm member of National Pediatric Society. I'm a mentor. I'm a preceptor. And then just a few months back, I started doing the research on pain medication that I get idea recovering the kids from eye surgery. I have it in front of me that kids wake up from different way from same surgery, same everything but same. So I start digging and talking to anesthesia attendings, what is the difference? So we find out that two different pain medication were used. So I talked to some people and they said, okay, there you go. You get the research fellowship. Prove that it's your theory, it's better. So I just started my research 2 days ago. So it's pretty stressful, but it's going to be a wonderful if we prove, because we calculate it's about 1,500 surgeries, eye surgeries that are done in a year in Children's Hospital. And about 900 of those are the kids age of 3 and between 3 and 10. So that is the age group that we try to kind of, attend. So it would be a great thing when it's at the end, when we prove, but right now it's a lot of work.
Would you have guessed 17 years ago that this is what you'd be doing today?
Never, never. I would never get, never guessed. I remember when I came first to United States and my first, the old International Institute was behind Cardinal Glennon. And when I saw the hospital, I look at that and tell myself, you know what, in 10 years, I would like to be in here. So, it took me a little longer than 10 years to finish my nursing school and start working in pediatric hospital. Actually, when I was hired after my nursing school, I was hired first for Cardinal Glennon, but then the Children's Hospital came with a better offer, so I accepted the offer, but yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've worked hard. Sarah, as we share Hasima's story today, how is this an example, just one example of what humanitarian can do to make a difference in not only in Hasima's life, but in the life of her children and others who are connected to her?
Well, I think first I want to just say that Hasima is remarkable in her own right. And each of our clients to us is the hero in their story. And some of our clients come to us and they don't believe in themselves quite as much as others. And so being able to draw that out, and again, in the biblical sense of naming someone's giftedness and pulling that out in them. I think that with Hasima, just to what Amy, her caseworker, who's still now our director of advancement, said, Hasima's never where you found her last. She will be, oh, I bought a house. Oh, I graduated with my BSN and now I'm, lead researcher on this anesthetic project. So again, each of our clients has their own story. Earlier, Hasima was talking with us about the face of homelessness, and it's a very different, it's always a different story for each family. And so we just want to honor that as an organization. And again, across our programming, take people where they are, try to name their strengths and as much as they can pull those forward and propel people, and not just, it's not just a 18 months of a transitional home. It's so much more propelling and launching families and even the kids to try to look at their gaps and needs and position them for developmental success, academic, emotional wellness. There's a child when I there's a McKinney-Vento Act for homeless children. And if you are facing homelessness, you can remain in the school of your choice. For Hasima, that was private school. For Amy, she had wanted to keep her kids that piece of predictability and consistency. So she was driving, I think she said 4 buses to get, they would take to get to school and then back to the shelter when she was in the shelter. And so just the realities of that and the heroic efforts. But that, again, just to provide all the supports that families need.
I remember sharing Amy's story on Faith and Family, and just a magnificent story as mm-hmm. well that of perseverance
mm-hmm.
that, that she faced what seemed, you know, an impossible obstacle, but yet through the support that she received through Christ's mercy in the hands and the hearts of people at Humanitree that really helped her through, she persevered and now is thriving and now an integral part of Humanitree as well. She's returned to Humanitree to serve there. Well, with just about a half a minute left, anything else you'd like for us to know about Humanitree as we wrap up our time today?
Well, as the executive director, I always have to shamelessly ask God's people to walk beside us, that we'll be here till Christ comes again. And we need donor leadership and supporters to walk with us, as anyone would expect. Our budget's very lean for the amount of work we do, so would love to have that conversation and visits to Humanitree with me if anyone's moved by what you heard today.
The phone number?
314-772-7720, and my extension is 13.
And humanitree.org, humanitree.org. Thanks so much for being my guest today. It was great to talk with you, Sarah, and Hasima, thanks for being my guest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.